Welcome back in, hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our man, Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Nate and TD and Talking with TD. TD, what's going on, my man? How we doing?
Hey, what's going on? Good morning.
Hope you're doing well. And TD, we've been talking about some options for the Titans that maybe they could pursue to help the pass rush, whether it's in the draft or free agency. What are some options that stand out to you that John Robinson could pursue this offseason?
Yeah, well, if you look at free agency, I think Carl Lawson is a guy that has to be right there at the top of the list. Trey Hendrickson. You saw what he did last season, 13 and a half sacks, and it was his best year. I think he could be had at a reasonable cost, even though he had so many sacks. You look at Romeo Okwara. I remember the game against the Lions. He had that safety, and he had 10 sacks last season too. So those are three guys that jump out. I think they should actually look at signing two, and it should be one of those three guys, and then sign a guy that come in and add to that pass rush culture that won't be too expensive. And that's where someone like Marcus Golden, a guy I said they should have signed last year,
yep.
I think he still should be in the picture.
Not a Bud Dupree fan?
You know, Bud Dupree is a very good player. I think he may want a contract that will be above what they can, you know, that'll be in a different aisle than what they should probably be shopping in. You know what I mean? Maybe even a different store. You know, that might be Lord and Taylor's instead of Macy's. You know what I mean? So we just have to see how that works.
Can't
and then
put,
for the draft, there's options too. You know, plenty of options there.
Yeah, you can't put Bud Dupree on layaway. You gotta pay it out now. Yeah. Well, that's interesting with him too. You know, because he's an interesting guy. I mean, you're coming off the injury, which of course, obviously ACLs aren't what they used to be. You know, in terms of long term concerns, but it's some level of concern. And then it's, you know, how much does playing with T.J. Watt on that defense in general, how much has that helped him?
Exactly.
But what do you think he's going to command, TD?
Man, I could see him right there in the $14 million a year range. I mean, even though he had that injury, I could see him getting that. I believe the Steelers want to retain him, but you know how they are with free agency. You know, they will let you go and not think twice about it. And there are other teams that need a pass rush. For me to pay a guy in that range and have the question mark of the injury as well as the question mark of can he do well when he is the guy, not opposite of T.J. Watt, when he is the guy. I don't know about that, and that's where I have my issues.
TD, both Joe and I feel like the Titans may have dodged a bullet with Matthew Stafford ending up in L.A. rather than going to Indianapolis like he and I both thought was a possibility. I don't know whether or not you agree with that, and I'm going to assume for the sake of this conversation that Houston is not dumb enough to trade Deshaun Watson to the Indianapolis Colts. So with those things in mind, is there an option still on the table that the Colts could pursue that would scare you if you're a Titans fan?
I don't think Titans fans should be scared about any quarterback that the Colts may get outside of Deshaun Watson. I think it really comes down to Carson Wentz. He apparently wants out. He didn't like that situation, being benched for Jalen Hurts. Who was a guest on Talking with TD last draft season, by the way?
That's right.
but he could be an option. I think it's really going to be Sam Darnold, though. I think that's going to be the direction. The Jets, in my opinion, are going to look to go a different way at quarterback. They have the number two pick. And I think they'll deal Sam Darnold. And he's a guy that I could see going to the Colts, and Frank Wright could work with him. But he still remains a turnover machine, so – you know, if I'm a Titans defensive player and the Colts trade for Sam Darnold, I'm salivating.
Yeah. I mean, I'm interested to see him, you know, away from that mess, but there are definitely concerns with him. TD, what was Senior Bowl week like? I know you love the Senior Bowl. You always get great information there. Was it way different this year? And do you feel like the evaluations for the teams was any different than a normal year?
Yeah, it was a bit different just because you don't get the – you're not able to go down there on the field and chase the guys down, you know, that you want to talk to. It was different in that you had to call them over and you could talk to them. But we didn't really know that that was something that we could do until the second day of practice, you know. But it was all right. I definitely enjoyed the experience. Got to talk to some different agents, you know, reconnect with some guys. That's always good. You didn't really get to, you know, talk to any coaches or anything like that. Even the coaching staff that was there, you know, our crew, we had the Panthers reporter and our Dolphins reporter, Cameron Wolf, who was here before, but they didn't get to go down and get one-on-one with the coach like other years. So that's where it was different. But, hey, Jim Nagy and the crew, they did an awesome job still making that event go down, and it was pretty cool. And also got to see Gregory Rousseau in person. Drew Rosenhaus had him down there. And Mel Kiper, he has Gregory Rousseau as the 22nd pick in his mock. And if you listen to Talking with TD, that is up on Spotify, Google Podcasts, and all your iTunes, everything, you will hear Mel Kiper talking about Gregory Rousseau because he was a guest yesterday. But I got to see him in person, and goodness gracious, he's a pretty long dude, man. I was intrigued by that.
Yeah, so, excuse me, Rousseau, you know, of course, Ojulari from Georgia. I know, you know, Dane Brugler for us threw in Zaven Collins as a possibility, a guy who does a lot of different things at linebacker. Let's just say those three guys are available at 22. What would you do if you were John Robinson?
I think it's really going to depend upon what they do in free agency, right? If they don't sign a guy like a Trey Hendrickson, I think, you know, Rousseau is probably the direction that you would want to go. But don't sleep on Jalen Phillips either, the other Miami guy who played this year. Don't sleep on him. But out of those three that you mentioned, I like the Georgia kid, man, you know, because he's just another fastball coming off the edge. His hands are really good. He's much stronger than, you know, what his height and weight would make you think. And watch the Florida game. That's a good one. I would go that direction.
ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter Teron Davenport on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, TD, Super Bowl week, an interesting matchup, especially like I'm looking at this Tampa Bay defense and Devin White and the speed of the linebackers for that Bucs defense, very intriguing to me. But also, you look at the game this year that these two teams played, and Tyreek Hill had 200 receiving yards in the first quarter. So if you're the Bucs, how do you go about trying to slow down Tyreek Hill and obviously not letting him affect the game in such a dramatic way like he did in the first matchup?
You know, that's the thing that's so interesting about the Chiefs, and you got to shout out their personnel department because they've made it where you literally have to pick your poison. So if you want a bracket coverage and, you know, have that safety over the top to make sure that Tyreek Hill doesn't beat you deep, you got Travis Kelce who makes, man, his routes are so saucy. You know what I mean? So you have him one-on-one, he's gonna win. You have him in zone, he's going to settle in the window. So I think it's really just a matter of, okay, who is going to be the guy? And you could dictate that by how you cover. So I think, you know, a lot of boxing one, you're going to have to do that against Tyreek Hill. But as I said, that's going to open things up for other guys. And they're stacked, man. They are stacked. But
how much do you buy that, you know, this offensive line situation for Kansas City could be a real problem in this game, TD?
Man, you know, I buy into that. I'm making that purchase. I am making that purchase for sure because I think when you know, I don't think Fisher's going to play. I'm almost positive he's out, and then the right tackle is out. And, man, that front that the Bucs have with Jason Pierre-Paul, Shaq Barrett, Vita Vea, and Dominican Soup, man, those guys cause problems. You saw what they did to the Packers. And the Packers have one of the best offensive lines. Of course, Bakhtiari was out, but, you know, I think that's actually going to be the difference. And seeing that, that's why I swayed back to the Bucs. I think the Bucs are going to win this game because of that.
I like it.
All right.
TD picking the Bucs. I may be going that direction, too. We'll see what happens tomorrow on Pigskin Pick'em. Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Nate and TD and Talking with TD, has been our guest here on Robbie and Retro. TD, great stuff as always, my man. Appreciate you taking time to join us.
Yeah, for sure. Anytime. Appreciate you guys.
Absolutely. One of the best in the business, Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter. And that matchup is going to be interesting, watching the Bucs and that front going up against a depleted Kansas City line. We'll discuss that a little bit later in the show with Mike Golic Jr. as well. So a lot still to come here on the program. When we come back, we'll dive back into the Tennessee Titans, their needs on defense, and the quarterback position as well. Is Ryan Tannehill good enough to win a Super Bowl for this team? We'll revisit the poll question coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porther with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll have Sam Mehlinger from the Kansas City Star join us at 8:30, and we'll get to the bottom of what his name actually is. I'm pretty sure it's Mehlinger. Joe's pretty sure it's Mehlinger, but I saw him on a YouTube video last night say Mehlinger.
He said Mehlinger?
He said it. There was actually a conversation about how it's pronounced.
Oh, well.
So I'm feeling pretty confident.
You didn't tell me all this. Now I feel bad.
Well, I'm trying to keep it from you.
Now I feel bad that I just texted him because I just said, so I've been saying Mehlinger all these years. Have I been wrong? He hasn't responded, so I think I've offended him. He may not be on the show now.
Great. Just running off guests here on the program here on Robbie and Rex. So looking forward to Sam if he hangs around and talks with us.
Sam.
At 8:30. Lots to get into about the Super Bowl.
Sam M. Let's just go with that.
And then, of course, your opportunity for Preds Pick the Click coming up at 8:45, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. The listeners on a great roll, picking the goal scorer for the Nashville Predators. We'll see if that can keep going today. Joe, we talked earlier in the show, our poll question of the day, at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. Do you think the Titans can win a Super Bowl with Ryan Tannehill as their quarterback? Now, both of us feel very strongly that the Titans absolutely can win a Super Bowl with Ryan Tannehill as their quarterback. But the early returns, the vote was at 66%. An updated version of this poll, 288 votes are in. 72% say yes, 28% say no. So the poll is going up, even though it's not quite where you'd like it to be, Joe Rexroth.
Well, it's 28. The 28% needs to explain themselves. If the word was will, that's different. Not will. The word is can, of course.
If the word was will, I think those percentages would be flipped.
And that's fine.
So.
And that's fine. I mean, if you put it to me and say, right now, I want you to vote, will Ryan Tannehill win a Super Bowl with the Titans? And you have to vote yes or no, and you're going to lose your house. I'll probably vote no.
Yeah, I'm voting no just because of who else is in the conference.
Right.
Like, Patrick Mahomes is in the conference.
The odds are against it. But the question is, can they? I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, 28%. Explain yourselves. I'm not seeing enough explanations.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Matt from Camden texts in and says, if Trent Dilfer can win a Super Bowl, Ryan Tannehill can win a Super Bowl. It's all about who you put around them and how the team performs.
Do you think that Dilfer, of course, doing a great job at Lipscomb Academy. He's been a very good analyst before that. Do you think that he is I feel like he's the guy people mention first in the, you know, non-elite quarterbacks who have won Super Bowls. Is that fair?
I mean, I don't know if it's fair or not. I mean, Nick Foles won a Super Bowl. I realize Nick Foles played great in that game. But Nick Foles is not good, and he won a Super Bowl. So Trent Dilfer just gets – maybe he's just getting railed on here for no reason.
I mean, Brad Johnson, you know.
Yeah, Trent Dilfer's better than Brad Johnson, wouldn't he?
I think so. I have to go back and look at the numbers. Brad Johnson's pretty bad.
Maybe we're respecting.
But, hey, I didn't realize Eli Manning threw 30 picks a year either until earlier. So, and Dan Fouts, my childhood hero, he threw more picks than I realized.
Yes, he did. By the way, Dan Fouts coming up on the show tomorrow as well. So I know Joe Rex.
Very excited.
Very much looking forward to that conversation.
I hope you're all excited about
this. You should be very excited.
The real GOAT.
That Dan Fouts is coming on the program. We'll get his thoughts on maybe him being the GOAT. We'll have to check it out, see how it goes tomorrow. Look, I think Ryan Tannehill can absolutely win a Super Bowl. I think he's a guy that there are questions moving forward about, okay, now that Arthur Smith is out, Todd Downing is in, how does that affect the offense? How does that affect Ryan Tannehill specifically? You know, obviously it's not going to be the same as Arthur Smith in terms of the timing of play calls, the feel for the game. I mean, everybody's a little bit different in that regard. if you're a Titans fan, how concerned are you about Todd Downing and the way things went with the Raiders? Or do you just kind of wash that away as that being, you know, that was the Raiders, this is the Titans, it's a completely different situation and a completely different offense?
Well, I think you also hope that a coach learns from mistakes. You know, I mean, you can't possibly look at that season and say none of that was on him. Now, maybe resident Nashville Raiders fanatic Jason Fitz is overstating it and putting it all on Downing. I don't know. He clearly puts a lot of that as a guy who watched every play. And, I mean, my gosh, when they announced, was it Schefter who had – I think Schefter had it. You know, it's a Schefter Rappaport. I think it was Schefter. And as soon as he announced Downing, it was like the entire all of a sudden Raiders Nation just. It's like, you guys are still mad about 2017 and Todd Downing. Like, is it, you got Gruden now? Come on, you got different weapons. Come on, you got Mariota. What are you mad about? You got nothing to be mad about. But they were all over that stuff. But again, that's the OC. That's also the OC job. The OC is the most blamed. And quickly, because again, we see everything he does in his daily work. There's no other coach that you really do. We see every single thing he does.
Yeah.
That play worked. That play didn't. Clearly, he wasn't very good, though, right? So I suppose there should be some concern on that. But like you said, it's a different team. He's had several years since then, and I would imagine he's looked at that season and what went wrong, what he could have done better, and a lot of times you see people learn from things like that and get better.
And then on the other side of the ball, and we talked to TD a little bit about it in the last segment, about some options that the Titans have to pursue. I think a lot of people look at this team and how bad they were on that side of the ball and how bad they were getting after the quarterback in their pass rush and think to themselves, all right, well, there's no way this team is going to be good enough defensively next year to compete with some of these upper echelon teams. And we read off the Super Bowl odds for next season earlier in the show. The Titans, I think 28-1 right now at 15th in the NFL. So right around the middle of the pack in the NFL, and you're talking about a team with an elite offense from last year and a team that just won their division with middle of the pack odds right now to win the Super Bowl. I mean, the New England Patriots, for God's sake, are in front of them in the odds right now. So I think there is a perception out there that the defense next year is going to continue to be a huge problem for the Titans. And look, maybe it will be. I'm not overly excited about Shane Bowen being the defensive coordinator. But I also think, like, if you're John Robinson and you go out and pursue some pass rushers and actually hit on some this offseason, the way people view this defense could turn around pretty quickly in terms of actually having some personnel that could generate some pressure on the quarterback. Just that fact on a more consistent basis could really change the defense. And then hopefully, of course, you know, Adoree Jackson also is healthy the entire year as well.
Yeah, and what's Rashawn Evans? You know, I mean, what's Kevin Byard moving forward? There's a lot of individual questions. I also think that the odds thing is tied to even our poll question a little bit. I mean, I think Tannehill is still not viewed nearly across the league like he is, and you know, across the country and in the odds making world, wherever you want to go, like he is here. So. And, you know, the playoff game, hey, look, he didn't play his best in the playoff game. And that's a plain fact. So I get that from that perspective. But I think that's part of it, too. This, you know, Tannehill question slash, you know, Derrick Henry's not going to go for 2,000 again. So, you know, this team just lost its OC. There's a lot of reasons to wonder where this team's going.
There is. And I think if you're Robinson – the balance that you take and the kind of approach you're going to have this offseason is interesting, because I mentioned it a little bit earlier in the show. Like, we've talked about the salary cap kind of remaining flat. That's been the theory all season long, and it looks like from some reports out there that maybe it's a little bit higher than they anticipated that it would be. Now, it's not going to be like a massive jump. I think that's safe to say, but maybe a little bit higher than we thought. I wonder how that kind of changes the way John Robinson views things, if at all, because you've got a lot of important decisions to make, not only defensively and bringing some pass rush help in, which is critical, but also Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith. What's the number you're willing to go to with those guys? I wonder how much the cap influences that.
Yeah. I mean, either way, you got to make good choices. Made some bad choices last year. You got to make good choices. But those, the free agents who are on the roster now, that's you know, is it likely that they're going to end up with all three of those guys back? I'd be really surprised by that. I just think Jayon Brown, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe John Robinson totally looks at it differently and prioritizes him, but he's a guy that I could see them moving on. You know, we had TD on earlier. He had a good piece on different prospects at Senior Bowl, including an inside linebacker, in which case you'd have Evans, Long, and now this rookie. And that's how it goes in this league. But if you could keep those two guys on offense, I think that that's a real worthwhile pursuit if you can pull it off. They tried to keep Conklin last year, and, you know, Cleveland paid more. I mean, they had a priority of doing something, and it didn't work out, and that's how it goes with free agency.
Let's quickly go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, without Derrick Henry, no, Tannehill is not good enough. If he was on the Bengals or the Eagles or the Browns this year, no, he couldn't. He's just not that good yet on a consistent basis.
Great. Okay. Well, let's take take your favorite quarterback of all time. Let's put Aaron Rodgers on the Jaguars this year. Do they win a Super Bowl?
No.
He was on the Packers. I mean, that's not what
now,
we're talking about.
If you put Tannehill on the Browns, maybe they do. The Browns is pretty good this year.
Browns were pretty good this year. But again, the
had the Chiefs beat.
Yeah.
Kind of.
They were looking good for a while.
Did they ever lead in that game?
No.
I don't think so.
But they had them beat.
Had them beat, maybe.
They were.
As soon as Mahomes went down, I was like, the Cleveland Browns, here we come. Come on.
If they could have had one more quarter against Chad Henne. Yeah, look, no one's arguing that if you put Tannehill on a terrible team that he's not going to win the Super Bowl. We're just talking about Ryan Tannehill. Can that quarterback, you know, you got to have a lot of help. Can that quarterback win the Super Bowl? There's no quarterback who's ever won the Super Bowl who had no help. Joe Montana wasn't playing with a bunch of bums. Tom Brady wasn't playing with a bunch of bums.
Maybe in some years. I just stop getting you fired up. When we come back, speaking of the Super Bowl, we'll have Sam Mellinger coming on with the Kansas City Star. We'll break down the matchup for the Chiefs against the Buccaneers coming up on Sunday. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Looking ahead to the big game coming up this weekend. Kansas City trying to go back-to-back, taking on Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome Sam Mellinger from the Kansas City Star. Sam, thanks for taking time to join us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
Now, Sam, I've got to tell you, it's been a point of contention this morning. I did some film study last night and came to the conclusion that it's Mellinger, not Mellinger. And I think I'm right. This is going to be embarrassing if I'm not, but I think I've beaten Joe Rexrode in this regard.
Can you tell me where was the film study?
It was. I saw a YouTube video, and you said your name.
He stalked you last night. Hopefully
I was doing
a little bit
of stalking. I hope you feel comfortable being on the radio with us now. It's great.
Yeah, no, that's you got it. You got it. It's it's Mellinger.
Yes!
But I always say it's a hard G like me.
Oh yeah,
but
nice.
I have to tell you though that you know, like it's the people that say Mellinger, that's the minority, and you know, my grandpa on my mom's side, but still, my grandpa always said Mellinger. And at the time, I thought it was weird, and like later on, I just wondered if he was just screwing with my dad, you know, mispronouncing his name. But so I don't even notice, man. Either way.
Okay, well, good, because I kind of want to just keep saying Mellinger if that's cool, but you know, we can talk about it later.
Whatever you got, Joe.
Oh man, Joe Rexrode, ladies and gentlemen. So Sam, who knew haircuts could be so dangerous this time of year? I mean, it's incredible the times that we're living in right now, and it looks like the Chiefs have avoided, you know, a complete disaster here, but man, close call.
I can't believe, I mean, that is the most like pandemic football story. You know, like it's a haircut, but then when you read that, you're like, oh my God, like that almost turned just disastrous.
Ugh.
Like 20 people, including the quarterback. I mean, the possibilities if they didn't, and I also like, I was like, really? Like they're letting a guy, they don't have his test back yet. And they're letting him cut dude's hair?
Yeah.
That seemed weird to me as well. But, yeah, I mean, at least at the moment, it looks like tragedy averted.
And I love the Daniel Kilgore. If you go to
yeah.
go to Sam's Twitter account, at Mellinger. Great Daniel Kilgore photo with his half haircut there. That's but yeah, this could have been bad. So Sam, this game, these offensive line injuries, how big of a concern is this? I still feel like, you know, Reed and Bieniemy and all these guys, they'll figure it out, move them around, and everything will be fine. But is this could this be the equalizer?
So on radio, live radio, you're not supposed to ask a question that you don't know the answer to, right? But do you guys remember before the season, when the schedule came out, that Frank Caliendo skit? You remember this where he dressed up as all the coaches?
Oh, yeah.
Seeing their schedule. And you remember the Andy Reid one where it was just like, I don't care. I've got – and he's like waving the Patrick Mahomes jersey.
Yeah.
So that is how people here think. Like, he nailed it. Like, that is how Kansas City feels. It's like, screw it, we got Mahomes. But this is, like, chipping away at that. I mean, when you talk to people just around town and whatever, I mean, that is the single biggest fear. And whatever's number two is not even close. Because it's not just, you know, they're going to have three guys starting in the Super Bowl that they did not plan on playing this year. And it's not just that. But the way that they have always, under Andy Reid at least, built their offensive line is they pay for the tackles, right? Like Eric Fisher, they used the 1-1 pick and gave him a big contract. Mitchell Schwartz is on a big contract. They pay for tackles and trust those guys on the outside. And then on the inside, they're not going to spend a lot of resources because they're going to put that in other places. And those guys are kind of moving parts. Well, now those two guys that they've been depending on and kind of scheming a lot of, you know, how they run and pass game, how they block, they're gone. And, you know, Mike Remmers is their second choice at left tackle, and Andrew Wiley is their third choice at right tackle. And that is a big deal. The one thing, depending on how nerdy you want to get, when the Chiefs played the Saints this year, I think that's a really, like, sort of instructive game for how this might go, because you know, the Saints, like the Bucks, have a bunch of freaking pirates rushing at the quarterback, and in that game Eric Fisher probably shouldn't have been playing. His back, it was just terrible. Like he could hardly move, and Andrew Wiley was playing right tackle. So I believe that the Chiefs are in better shape now than they were in that game, just because of how injured Fisher was, and now Wiley's got a little bit of experience at that position. But in that game, the Saints got a lot of pressure. It's not like the Chiefs figured something out to keep the Saints off of Mahomes. The Saints got a lot of pressure, but you know, the Chiefs moved the pocket a lot, left and right, which is an advantage with Mahomes because it doesn't matter which way he scrambles. They did a lot of quick passing. They did a lot of even more of that sort of horizontal stretching with speed than they usually do. And then they relied on Mahomes making, you know, 2, 3, 4 plays that nobody else in the world could make. And, you know, I think that's generally how this thing will be approached as well.
Sam Mellinger from the Kansas City Star on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And, Sam, I want to get your thoughts on this because, you know, here in Nashville, we've talked about Arthur Smith all season long becoming a head coach, and he has now with the Atlanta Falcons. And Eric Bieniemy was always a name that Joe and I talked about as probably being at the top of the list in terms of potential head coaching candidates. And here we are, and he does not have a head coaching job. Why do you think that's the case? And what do you think the future looks like from here for Eric Bieniemy?
Well, so I don't know if there's ever been somebody with his credentials. I don't know that there's ever been a more qualified candidate who has interviewed 14 times and not gotten a job. His resume is ridiculous. I mean, Andy Reid, that is the most fruitful coaching tree in modern NFL history. And Eric Bieniemy has been the top assistant on that staff for the last 3 years, as the Chiefs have had one of, if not the best offense in the league. Reid, Mahomes, everybody in that building just rave about, you know, leadership, the work he does, you know, designing plays, all these things. I mean, he's got everything that other coaches have had when they get hired. He's had that like times two, you know, a Super Bowl champion, maybe a two time. So look, there's gotta be something. It's hard not to notice that he happens to be a black man and that the NFL has, you know, what is it, three black coaches out of 32. I mean, this is a problem that the NFL has acknowledged and tried to work on for damn near 20 years, right? The Rooney Rule is not a new thing. It is hard not to think that that is a huge part of this. Now, that's not all of it, not even close, because, I did the math, and it's in a column that's on our website right now, but I believe that four of the times that he's interviewed, that job has gone to a different black coach. Four different times that he's interviewed, it's been with a franchise that's hired a black coach. So, you know, it's not just, it can't be this simple. Now, you hear rumblings, does he not have the staff picked out? You know, that's something an owner and a GM like to hear, like who's going to be your coordinators, who's going to be your position coaches, all that stuff. I've heard that he doesn't have that mapped out as well as teams would like. He got arrested a few times when he was in college. That was 30 years ago. With what happened with Matt Patricia, just 3 years ago or whatever that was. And, some of the stuff, Urban Meyer, I understand he never got arrested himself. But, some of the stuff that's happened in his programs, you kind of wonder, like, how could that be an issue with Bieniemy? It's weird. It's weird. The explanation I've heard that makes the most sense is that after you get past sort of top shelf, Bill Belichick, Andy Reid, Sean Payton, there's probably a couple others. After you get past those, that teams would just move mountains to hire. The rest of it is up to fit. And you have to have the right relationship in place. Urban Meyer is a good example with this too. That's a college market that is trying to build up. So here's a, outrageously successful and famous college coach. They're going to draft the biggest college star in, recent college football history. So that makes a lot of sense. And there's, that kind of relationship for whatever reason, has not been in place with Eric. And that's the one that makes the most sense, but it's also sort of a catch-all, sort of kind of the version of a shoulder shrug. You know what I mean? Because yeah. He should have a job. He is overqualified.
Yeah. And then, you hear like, how he interviews, and I'm watching like Nick Sirianni up there, and I'm right. Listening to Dan Campbell's penchant for cannibalism, and I just don't right. I don't want to hear that at all. But are we
there
sure?
Are times, can I say like real quick? There are times that Eric falls back on just cliche after cliche after cliche, which puts him in good company among football coaches,
yes,
right?
Yes.
But the one thing that he does in interviews that I've wondered about is he is super deferential to Andy Reid. To the point where I can't remember now if this was this season, I think this was the last season actually, but you ask him is Mahomes going to play? This is when he had the kneecap thing. It might've been before the Titans game last year, but, anyway, and he's like, look, I am Eric Bieniemy, offensive coordinator, assistant coach. I only have 49% of the say on that. And it's just, I get it. That's true. Right. But I think maybe I've wondered if owners want the guy they've hired to already have been presenting himself as a head coach. And sometimes he's a little bit, but that's kind of some BS guessing game. Cause Doug Peterson did that and got hired by the Eagles. Matt Nagy did that and got hired by the Bears. You know what I mean? It's just like the situation forces you to go into all these guessing games and make up explanations that probably aren't there.
Are we sure that Andy Reid is not going to hoist the Lombardi and then hand it right over to Eric on Sunday night?
I don't mean this to be morbid at all, but I think you are going to have to take the gift of coaching Patrick Mahomes. I think you're going to have to take that out of Andy Reid's cold, dead hands. You know what I mean? Like, that guy is not going. He has waited his entire life to have a quarterback like this. I don't think he's going anywhere until he has to.
Sam Mellinger from the Kansas City Star has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexford. Sam, we appreciate so much you taking time to join us, and have fun this weekend. Should be a great game.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. Thanks, Sam Mellinger has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. And when we come back, it's that time of the day. Time for Pret's Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, and you'll have your opportunity to guess the goal scorer for the Predators tonight against the Florida Panthers. If you get it right, you'll win a prize pack brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
And the score!
Who
Who's going to find the back of the net in tonight's Preds game? Robbie and Rex Road make their picks to click and welcome a listener to do the same. Pick to Click is brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, the official vodka of the NHL.
And it is that time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. We've got a chance for a listener to correctly guess the goal scorer for tonight's game for the Nashville Predators taking on the Florida Panthers. And let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring on Matthew from Nashville, who is today's participant. Matthew, how are we doing?
Doing well. How are you guys?
We are doing very well. So the Preds on the road right now, taking on Florida tonight, trying to bounce back after a tough couple of games in Tampa Bay. Matthew, who is your Pred pick to click tonight for the game? Who scores for the Predators?
I'm going to go with Mikael Granlund. I feel like he's been our most consistent player since coming back to the team. So, yeah, I'm going to play it safe and go with him.
I think that's a great pick. Granlund, as you said, Matthew, one of the best players since John Hines has taken over the coaching staff. So you feel confident Granlund gets it done tonight?
I do, yeah.
Absolutely. All right, well, Matthew, we appreciate you taking time to join us here on the show, and good luck.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks, man. Thanks, guys.
So Matthew selects Mikael Granlund, and as we know, the listeners have had a great amount of success in this competition so far. Joe Rexroad, you've also had some success in this competition. You've guessed correctly three times to this point.
What have the listeners had?
They've had, I mean, they've nailed like four or five of them, I think.
How many?
Three.
I thought it was more than that.
So you said they've had a great amount of success with their three, and you said I've had some success. That's
You've had
bias.
A great amount of success.
That's media bias.
Well, you know what? You made fun of my hats earlier, and I'm still not over it.
I like your – no, man. I actually was kind of making fun of Porth's hat. They shouldn't be that clean and neat.
You called mine raggedy. What do you mean?
That's my style of hat.
Okay, all right.
No, I'm on your team.
Okay. I've never seen you wear a hat.
Well, like I said – you know, it's getting a little thin up top, and I don't want to expedite that process. And trust me, you know, I'm supposed to like lay back on like talk about how much my family makes fun of me. The kids make fun of my bald spot all the time.
Okay,
so
you have a bald spot.
Hold on. See, this is where, you know, once we're live streaming, people can watch this magic happen in the studio.
Just nice bald spot on top of Rex Road's head that he's pointing to.
That is so small.
It beats being bald at age 21, like me. So there you go.
But, hey, you know what? Let's look at the bright side. Nice shaped melon.
Thank you.
It would be awesome to be to me to just be able to shave it up and then you're done. You know?
Yeah.
Instead of having all this wavy, beautiful hair
in
the way.
Okay. You know? All right. You're getting on my nerves today. Cool. Well done. Very nicely done. Made fun of my hats now. Humble bragging about your hair. All right, so Matthew has selected Mikael Granlund. Joe Rexroad, I was going to let you go first, but no longer am. Ryan Porth, you're going first in the competition today. Which way are you going?
Roman Josi.
Ooh, going on the back end, the captain.
Going with Roman Josi. They lost back-to-back games. They didn't look all that great in Tampa Bay outside of a few stretches here and there. I think the captain responds like he did a lot last season when the team's back was against the wall.
Okay, so Ryan Porth going with Roman Josi as his selection. Joe Rexroad, your Preds pick to click. Who is it tonight against Florida?
Well, as a guy who's been right three times already,
yes,
talking to two guys who've been right zero times, I feel like I have a responsibility here. And so I'm with you, Matt. Matt Duchene, he's been a great guest for us weekly. I think anybody who's been watching this team, you can feel it. You can feel the frustration. You can see it. I mean, you can read lips.
Yeah.
You can see that. I really thought he was actually going to break that stick the other night. So, Matt, I'm here for you, man. I'm picking you, which means you're going to score tonight. Matt Duchene.
Wow. So if he does score tonight.
I mean, I'm just going to be talking trash all day tomorrow.
Yeah, how much credit do you take for this?
Half the show will be me taking credit tomorrow. Half of it will be telling you why Dan Fouts is the greatest of all time.
Good. I think that's a pretty good balance.
And then you're going to have to remind Matt next week when it comes on that you were the reason why he scored the goal.
Don't you worry.
Yeah, Joe Rexroad is not going to miss an opportunity to do that. Trust me.
Don't you worry.
So Roman Josi and Matt Duchene have been selected by Porth and Joe. Matthew, our listener, selecting Mikael Granlund. I've at times tried to go off the wall here. That has not worked. Give me Victor Arvidsson. I think Victor Arvidsson, he's shooting a whole lot of pucks as of late. I like the way he's playing. I like the speed burst that he's got. Needs a little bit more finish to his game, and I think he finds that tonight against the Florida Panthers. Give
he's
me number
Swedish.
33. Well, my God, Porth. I understand he's Swedish.
He's not Finnish.
Yeah, thank you.
Dad joke
the
alert.
The dad joke is just unbelievable. He's wearing a hat from 2004, coming in here making dad jokes. It's great.
Do you tuck in polos into your shorts in the summer?
Yeah.
With really neat hats like that and make dad jokes?
When I go golfing.
All right. I thought so.
Outside of that, no.
All right.
Oh, man. So that is this edition of Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. I'm going Arvidsson. Joe Rexroad goes Matt Duchesne. Ryan Porth with Roman Josi. And Matthew, today's listener, with Mikhail Granlund. So, gentlemen, good luck. We'll see who ends up being right. Maybe multiple people right tonight for the Nashville Predators. And
for
Joe,
the Preds' sake, they would hope so.
Yeah, and this is a big game for the Preds. We laid it out a little bit earlier. The standings right now, Tampa Bay, Carolina, Dallas, all playing very well. And Florida, to this point, the opponent tonight for the Predators, playing well also, 5-0-1 in six games so far. So not as many games. They played the fewest amount of games in the division thus far, but they've been impressive when they've been out there. Patrick Hornquist, familiar to the Predators, already has five goals. And you look at the way this division is going right now, it's a pretty massive game for the Predators against Florida. I mean, you start thinking about Florida and Columbus, those are teams you're probably going to be battling it out with for that last spot if you're the Predators. You got to collect as many points as you possibly can against those teams specifically.
So if you get 2 points out of these two games, how do you feel?
Look, at some point, I mean, you've got to establish – you got to stack some wins together. And I realize they started 2-0, but it's – you got to stack a good stretch here together. So, I mean, you're avoiding ultimate disaster at that point by getting a game out of this and then coming back home and trying to get your luck back together on a homestand here. But I think Ryan Porth is right. And didn't you say 3 out of 4 earlier in the week?
3 out of 4 points?
Yeah, I think so.
That would make me feel a lot better about this team.
Yeah, I think 3 out of 4, that's when I think you could be happy about these next couple of games against Florida. In all actuality, you probably need 4.
Yeah. If you get
that's hard to do. I realize that.
But. You know, if you get 2, you're still sort of in the, you know, you're treading water. Okay, yeah. Got to step it up. You get none, and interesting show next week.
Yeah. So this, I mean, it's a crucial stretch, and people
with Tampa Bay coming in.
Yeah. I mean, by the way, they look pretty good.
They're all right.
So I get it. Some people hear us talking right now, and they're like, okay, you're 9 games in. Chill out a little bit. Yeah, 9 games in an 82-game regular season is a little different than 9 games in a 56-game regular season. So there needs to be some urgency here. And you know, we had Philip Forsberg on Smashville Live last night with myself and Chris Mason, and he talked about that. I mean, he's like, look, I mean, you know, it's early. There's some new pieces coming in, and you're trying to adjust to that. There's been more turnover on this roster than we've seen in the past couple of years. So it does take some time. But he did say, you know, at the same time, we ain't got a whole lot of time to get this thing figured out. So there needs to be some urgency, especially from the jump. You got to get out to a lead at some point if you're the Predators and play with a lead in this game and see if that helps you from a system perspective as well.
Yes, guys. This was going to be a 1-0 show today on the mute button. You know, as of the end of this series, the Preds will have played 19.6% of the season.
Yeah.
There's some math for you. So a fifth of the season. I mean,
it's incredible to think about.
You gotta go.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll see what the Predators are able to do tonight. Also have Hal Gill coming up at 9:30 to get into the latest with the Nashville Predators as well. But when we come back, we'll switch gears back into football. Mike Golic Jr. from ESPN will join us. We'll look ahead to this matchup in the Super Bowl and touch on the hot topics around the NFL as well. All that coming up. This is Robbie and Rexroad live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.